Next case for argument, United States v. Jackson. Mr. Stevens?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Jackson violated his supervised release by being convicted of driving while intoxicated, a felony, because it was a repeat offense. And Chief Judge Miller, in computing his guidelines under the policies in the sentencing guidelines, treated it as a grade A violation because the felony drunk driving under the precedent of this court in Rutherford was treated as a crime of violence. Since that time, the Supreme Court has held in Begay that a felony drunk driving is not a crime of violence. So the question is, what do we do, if anything, with Mr. Jackson? The court under 3553A does have to consider policy statements by the Sentencing Commission, among which is the question of whether the offense is a crime of violence. The court committed error, although it followed the precedent of this court. Under Begay, it constitutes error to deem that a crime of violence, and accordingly, the court erred in its 3553 analysis.
Yeah, but you said, Judge Miller said he didn't care what the Supreme Court, how the Supreme Court classified it. He thought the guidelines, the current guidelines, were right. So what's wrong with that?
Judge Miller said the Sentencing Commission, he thought, got it about right.
Right.
But on two occasions in the transcript, page 17 and page 19, he found that these were grade A violations. That is an analysis under 3553 in considering the policy statements. A judge needs to properly compute the sentencing guidelines before he imposes a sentence, and if he fails to properly compute the guidelines, then that...
He knew what the guideline sentence was. He thought it was inadequate, right? Obviously, he wanted the violent felony classification because he thought that would give the right sentencing range, 27 to 33 months. He has that discretion under Booker. What's the problem?
He has the absolute discretion under Booker. He also has the absolute discretion because this is a policy statement, even before Booker, in a violation of supervision.
Is there anything in Begay to suggest that the Supreme Court adopted that rule because it doesn't think that driving under the influence is as dangerous as Judge Miller thinks? Is that what Begay is about?
The decision in Begay was that felony driving while intoxicated does not meet the statutory definition.
Yeah, but my question is, did the court do that because it did research and it found that driving under the influence is not as dangerous as people think, or as the judges used to think? Right, that would obviously be something that Judge Miller would want to consider. But I don't think that's true. It's just, you know, it's a statutory interpretation. It's not saying it's not dangerous. And Judge Miller appears to have been anticipating the possibility that it would be classified as not a violent felony, and saying that, you know, if that's what the Supreme Court decides, I will exercise my discretion and impose a higher sentence because I like the current guideline range.
Judge Miller certainly has the right to disagree with the policy statement of the commission, and certainly has a right to interpret his...
Well, didn't he make clear that this is what he wanted to do so that we wouldn't be burdened with a remand, right? Which...
I think
like
there's
an efficient way to proceed.
I think there's certainly enough ambiguity since he said...
Where's the ambiguity?
The ambiguity is, Judge Miller said, this is a class A or grade A violation.
Yes, and then he says, if I'm wrong about that, in other words, if the Supreme Court decides it's not a violent felony, nevertheless, I like this 27 to 33-month range. So, and he has the discretion, as you acknowledge, to impose a sentence in that range.
The decision by Judge Miller, though, says that a sentence at the bottom of the guidelines is appropriate, the 27-month sentence.
At the bottom of these current guidelines, which he knows would be altered if the Supreme Court decided that this wasn't a violent felony. He knew all that, and he says, look, this is what I'm going to do under that. If that happens, it's not going to change my sentence. right? That's what he said.
I don't read the language by Judge Miller to say that. Judge Miller said on two occasions this
is... What is there in Begay that would cause him to reconsider his assessment of the dangerousness of Jackson's conduct?
The Begay decision itself is what creates the ambiguity because he was bound
by... No, because there's nothing in
Begay
about oh, these judges think that DUI is dangerous. It's not. Very few people are killed by drunken drivers when you compare it to the number of people who die from heart disease or something. There's nothing like that in Begay, is there? Maybe I've missed it. Is there anything about that in Begay?
Well, that's not the issue.
So why would it cause the judge to reconsider his sentence?
That's not the issue that Judge Miller faced.
Yes, it is the issue. Why would it cause Judge Miller to reconsider his sentence?
It would cause Judge Miller to reconsider his sentence because at the time he imposed that sentence, there was binding precedent
from
this court.
You're missing the point. He didn't say, first of all, it wasn't binding precedent because he had his Booker discretion. He could have gone below the 27 months, right?
There was binding precedent from
this
court.
He could have gone below 27 months.
Absolutely.
And he decided not to because, look, this fellow, he's on supervised release. He's arrested twice for drunk driving. Who knows how many times he drove drunk. Judge Miller thought that was serious, and that deserved a serious sentence, a heavy sentence, relatively heavy. And there's nothing in Begay that would cause Judge Miller to change his mind.
It would cause him to change his mind in this respect. This court had instructed that in computing the guidelines, and I recognize that that's separate from the Booker issue, but in computing the guidelines...
He said he likes the guidelines range. He didn't say, oh, I'm forced by the Seventh Circuit to classify this as, you know... He didn't say that. He said he thought the 27 to 33 was about right, which means he liked our approach, and he's going to stick with it.
But in arriving at that analysis, he made an analysis of the policy statements of the Sentencing Commission, which is required under 3553, and in coming to a wrong guideline conclusion, that constitutes a procedural error that requires a Paladino remand.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Grimmer?
Thank you, Your Honor. When I first read Begay, I thought to my colleagues, I thought, geez, I have a problem here, until I took the time to read the sentencing transcript, even though I was there. And I remember Judge Miller talking about the issue of the crime of violence and drunk driving. I wasn't quite sure how he had phrased it. Begay does not stand for the proposition that drunk driving is not a serious crime, and the court was very specific, the majority opinion, to point that out. When I went back and looked at the transcript, and I was there, Mr. Stevens was there, we looked at what Judge Miller said, we had an agreement. Look, you can sentence this guy from 0 to 30 months. You have that discretion. You acknowledged it on the record, or I believe Mr. Stevens mentioned that. Judge Miller clearly knew he had from 0 to 30 months under this agreement. And quite frankly, you know, I arrived at a cap of 30 months because I looked at the policy statements of the guidelines and looked at the grade A by type of violations. I mean, that's how I got to capping this thing at 30 months to see if I could sell it. In exchange, though, Mr. Jackson was going to acknowledge that he, in fact, had violated his supervised release. So when I looked at the transcript, I picked up the same language that this court has, that Your Honor has, in terms of, hey, this was all in front of Judge Miller. Mr. Stevens made an impassioned argument on behalf of Mr. Jackson and said, look, treat this as a grade B violation. It's 6 to 12 months, and he basically, that's sufficient to punish him for his conduct. Well, I think Judge Miller looked at it as, beyond just simply punishing for his conduct. He'd been punished in state court for the OUI violations. This was the breach of the supervised release and the trust that Judge Miller had placed in Mr. Jackson. So, in terms of having before him the argument that was presented here today, is the same argument below. Look at it. Treat it as a grade B violation. assume it's not a crime of violence, that the Supreme Court is going to rule against the government in that particular case, and in fact sentence him to 6 to 12 months. Judge Miller on page 16 and the top of page 17, that sentencing transcript very carefully pointed out that he said, regardless of what the Supreme Court decides as to whether it is a violent felony, it certainly is a crime that threatens people, the safety of people, and there is a significant need to protect the public from Mr. Jackson as long as he is drinking. But I think that's what really what controlled here. The judge was clearly aware that the Supreme Court may rule against the government, may find that it is not a crime of violence, but ultimately decided that whether he had the discretion to go from 0 to 30 months, he was going to treat someone who continues to drink and drive while on supervised release as a breach of the trust that the court had given.
Did you say that Mr. Stevens had said that, had mentioned the issue whether DUI is a violent felony?
What he explained was he did raise the argument below. He did say that that it's not a crime of violence, that that's being considered, that the Seventh Circuit...
He said that in the sentencing hearing or some other...
Well, I want to make sure I'm accurate. He indicated that Seventh Circuit precedent said that drunk driving was a crime of violence, and he respectfully disagreed. But in light of the matter before the Supreme Court, he was asking Judge Miller to treat it as a grade B violation. And Judge Miller had that argument before him. In other words,
before he sentenced.
Correct. So I guess from the government standpoint, Judge Miller then did go and do a careful analysis of the factors under 3553A. And we believe that based upon everything that's said from, page 16 through 19, where he talked about the treatment options, the sentence to protect the public from the defendant's behavior, his history and characteristics, and the nature and circumstances of the crime, we believe that the sentence that was imposed was not plainly unreasonable.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Grimmer. Mr. Stevens, any further?
Just briefly, Your Honor. At the revocation hearing, I did say I don't want to forego an argument that a DU felony is not a crime of violence. I make that argument, but I recognize that Seventh Circuit case law is against me. Because the court below made an analysis of policy statements, found that it was a crime of violence, there is enough ambiguity in Judge Miller's analysis and decision that this court should simply remand this to inquire of him whether he would impose the same sentence.
Did you mention that this was an issue for the Supreme Court, that you disagreed with the Seventh Circuit?
I was wondering
about the context in which he referred to the Supreme Court. Why did he say that?
I did tell the court this is an issue that's before the Supreme Court presently, yes.
But, of course, doesn't that make it rather clear that Judge Miller was saying, yeah, well, regardless of how the Supreme Court decides the case, I'm going to sentence him within the 27 to 33-month bracket?
I would disagree with that analysis in this respect, that Judge Miller makes an analysis of the factors under 3553, including the policy statements, and if his analysis of one of the policy statements goes into the equation incorrectly, then the matter should be remanded to him to see if he would still impose the same sentence.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Stevens, and thank you for accepting the appointment also.